Hi, everyone. We are so excited today to welcome Donna Hoffman as a guest on For Designer Business. Donna, thank you so much for being here.
Great to be here.
Donna is the founder and principal designer of Impeccably Designed Homes, a luxury interior design firm celebrating their 18th year in business and their 26th design award this year. She is also the interior design advocate, an in-demand business coach for interior designers. So she has so much genius to share with us today. Thank you again for being here, Donna.
Love it.
Yes, Donna. Thanks for being here. What I am excited to get in with you, Donna, is really just celebrating your success. It's not an easy feat, and you have two businesses, two machines to lock down, and you've created this short format program, I'd say, which I'm most interested in learning about. Everyone that we meet wants to make change and make change so freaking fast.
Mm-hmm.
They know what they need to do, especially when they know what they need to do, sometimes a little bit unrealistic. But I am super excited to jump in with you and start talking about these three pillars. So take it away and just dive into these pillars for us.
Sure, you bet. First of all, great to be here with you. Love what you do and love what you're doing for our design community. So I'm thrilled to dive in with you today. Listen, we've talked about this before, the three of us, that the same tripping points that trip up a company that is not yet billing $350,000, those same tripping points will trip up a company that's billing $650,000, $750,000, $850,000, $950,000. The same tripping points that's tripping up a company that's been in business in their first 7 to 9 years in that first growth trajectory, same tripping points hit a business that's been operating for 20 plus years. There are certain triggers that block profit and drive up stress. And for people like us, people who are hardwired with this creative brain and the reactivity that comes with it, it's like kryptonite is to Superman, right? It's the profit smusher. And ignoring these three pillars is what leads to design businesses closing and designers burning out. So which pillar do you want to dive into, or should I give you the overview first?
For the listeners who weren't with us before we started, when we say pillars, what we're talking about is Donna has crafted the three pillars of a profit-proud business. Those are her words and her genius, not mine. So these are the three pillars that a design CEO needs to lean into to be successful and to be profit-proud. We hadn't given that context, so I just wanted to make sure that everyone was with us.
Now, Donna, do these pillars follow specific steps, or are we able to jump all over the place and start with my hot topic of the reactivity? Or should we start from the beginning?
I'll name the three pillars and then we'll dive in.
Okay, let's do it.
Pillar number one is the pillar of mindset and the creative brain, how we are hardwired as business owners. So the business of mindset. Mindset's an overused word. Sorry, can't come up with a better one. For now, we'll use that. The second one is the business of your business. That's the second pillar. That's your operations. That's the engine itself of your business. And then the third pillar is the business of sales and marketing. Sales and marketing is the fuel, the gasoline that runs through the engine, but it's mindset. That's the spark that starts the engine or shuts it down. So can you lean into these pillars in equal amount in your business day? No. I'm here in my office. I'm not doing a design wish board and braiding somebody's hair and singing Kumbaya, but I am cognizant as a business owner about what the reactive points are in my business that will set me off as a business owner, because people like you, people like me, people like us, we have a certain reactivity point as business owners, and I don't see coaches today and some excellent coaches that are out there. I don't see any of them addressing this in a way that is meaningful and moves the needle for people like us. They either are ignoring this point or they misunderstand it and start throwing feel-good phrases like dream big, think from your future self, do a vision board.
Yeah. This was my takeaway as I took some notes as you were speaking. Three main things, tell me if I'm wrong. Sales, operation, mindset, and this reactivity lives in that mindset space. And if we don't create and we don't fix, it might be one or all three of these pillars that is the problem. but you just keep going on the same hamster wheel, the same emotion, same issues happening at 350, 750, but at 750 or seven figures, or as you climb financially, that reactivity likely gets worse if you don't fix it.
Yes.
Because the weight of this is so heavy. And I'm going to call us out, Ev. I'm going to call us out.
Do it to it.
High Point really showed me something, Donna. We were one of those people that, you know, for us, we're the operations pillar and also sales, honestly, because I sell and I close for people. So I would say those two pillars are really locked down for us. And when we work with a reactive client, our first core value is accountability. So too much so, we were kind of owning and taking accountability for really what the designer needed to be held accountable for in their mindset and reactivity space that is causing the issue. And I am dying to find the cure, Donna. So I'm like, you're coming on the show. We're curing this.
Solve our listeners' problems and ours.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm dishing out tough love, Donna. I'm the person that's setting it straight and I'm sending them to you. So
I'm going to bring you guys into the conversation, Shayna and Evelyn. When I talk about the creative brain, and I dive into this in greater detail, visuals help in a business immersion that we're doing in January. But just to shorthand it, there are three different archetypes as a design CEO. One is that you have a creative brain. You might just be a creative. I use that as a noun. Or you might be a creative sensitive or HSP. Or you might be a creative empath. How do you tell? Well, all of us as designers are really good at design. That's that creative brain. That thing that makes us good at design is also our Achilles heel in business. So you're a creative brain. If you can walk into a space, tell what's wrong with it, look at a blueprint, see what's possible. Creatives can make something that is not there. They can see what's not there. So right off the bat, everyone listening is a creative. Now, creative HSPs, they have a slightly higher degree of reactivity. You're more likely an HSP. If you walk into a room, let's say at a party, you walk out of that room and you say to your spouse or your significant other, hey, you know what? Jan seemed off to me. She seemed really sad. And your spouse says, what? Really? She seemed fine to me. But you could tell just something was off, right? So you have just a little bit more of a radar going on. And that's, again, what makes you really good as part of that creative brain, that reactivity. Now, you are more along the line of creative slash empath. If you walk out of that dinner party and say, I felt how sad Jan felt. My heart was breaking for her. You actually felt Jan's sadness. So empaths are like HSPs, except with the volume dialed way up. And depending upon who you read, 20 to 25% of the population are people like us. Now, that's not to mean that civilians, I'm married to a civilian, civilians are great, love civilians, but civilians don't have the same reactivity. A lot of us are designing for civilians. But let's go back and figure out, Shayna and Evelyn, where you are in the spectrum. I'm going to ask you seven questions, and I want you to keep track of your yes answers, okay? And every time you answer yes, and if you're listening to this now, you're just going to stick out a finger. So question number one, yes or no, you are sensitive to sound or noise. Yes or no, question two, you're sensitive to smell or scent.
I'm laughing because I know the answer for Evelyn. Okay. I'm like responding for me and Evelyn in my head.
No cheating. Yes or no, chaotic environments, loud, busy environments tire you, like airports, like trade shows. Yes or no? Keep track of yes answers. Question four, yes or no, you tend to regain your energy by being alone versus being with people. Yes or no, you tend to regain your energy by being alone versus being with people. That's question four. Question five, if given a choice, you would rather be part of a small dinner party versus a loud, rambunctious party. That's question five. Question six, you've been told at least once in your life, could be in childhood, you're too sensitive or you need a tougher shell. That's question six, yes or no. Question number seven, music or art, seeing something in a museum, hearing music can move you to an emotional reaction. Yes or no? Something you find very beautiful can move you to a reaction. Okay. So if you had 1 to 3 yeses, now really there are 25 questions I have my design CEOs answer. This is just a quick little litmus test. But if you have 1 to 3 yes answers, chances are pretty good that you're somewhere in the realm of creative/HSP, creative sensitive, highly sensitive person. If you have 4 or more yes answers, chances are pretty good that you are an empath. So, Shayna and Ev, how did you guys score?
We make up the whole cookie.
We are so not shocked about this. We are like, yep.
I was answering as I was going. I was like, we always say we're the perfect black and white cookie that makes a whole. And that's totally what this just showed. Yeah, I'm in that 1 to 3.
Okay. And Evelyn, where are you?
I'm a 6.
Okay, good. So here's the thing, wherever you are on the spectrum of reactivity, you can use the word sensitive. When I say sensitive, I don't mean you cry easily. Maybe you do. But sensitivity to me, the way I'm using it is you pick up the currents. You have a reactivity.
Your nerve endings are like right there.
Correct. It's the way you and I are hardwired versus the guy who's running an accounting or the woman who's running an accounting firm. It's a different brain hardwiring. Neither's better, neither's worse. But I will tell you that running a business as an entrepreneur is quite a ride that you sign up for. And for people like us with our reactivity, there are built-in stressors in any business that you run. There are significant built-in stressors running an interior design business. And if you are an HSP or an empath, you're somewhere on that reactivity spectrum and you don't know it, you walk around thinking, what the F is wrong with me?
That actually is such a big one. Because I'm going to say, in terms of self-analysis, I know this to be true. The example of you walk into the room and you can pick up on someone's stuff, but not totally embody it versus I'm feeling it for, that really hits because that just translates into business so much. Often when you pick on something, you can overgive or try to solve without being like asked to solve. There's so many things. So this is the program. Identifying, is it realizing you have a problem, but here are the steps to helping?
It's not a problem. You have a trait.
You have a trait.
Yeah.
It's a characteristic. Water is wet, ice is cold, fire is hot. And when you are building your business without putting in specific mechanisms that will stop churn, stop predictable stressors, you're creating your own headwinds in your business. When you're walking around thinking there's something wrong with you, I'm not cut out to be a kick-ass businesswoman. Bull. I call BS on that. You are programmed for that. But if you're trying to do it the way a business coach is telling you to do it because he or she doesn't understand how a creative brain works. And here's what I mean. I know, sure as rain is wet, I know every time I grow a design CEO in her or his business, bigger fees, bigger client, bigger project, bigger architect that they're going after. Every time we do that, predictably, I know I'm going to aggravate their reactivity. So I know I've got to do certain mindset hacks, short circuits, shortcuts to keep them feeling really balanced and clear because I know I am going to trigger them with that reactivity by doing something wonderful. Growing in your business can set people like us off. And if you're feeling like your knees are knocking, your knees are shaking, how likely are you to pick up the phone and call that bigger builder, that more esteemed architect? How likely are you to put down a $250,000 design fee on a project and present it? Now, do you need a kick scope of work? How likely are you to take that bigger, bolder, gumption-filled step if your insides are mush? Answer, not very. So can we spend 90% of our business life in this pillar? No. As a coach, do I spend 90% of my time with a client there? No. But I know that I can't ignore it. A majority of the time as a profit-proud, client-centric, but profit-proud business is spent in the pillar of operations and in the pillar of the business of sales and marketing. has to be. But the foundational pillar to all that is that creative brain and understanding, oh, I'm doing that thing. That's why I'm feeling this. And here's a great mindset hack that I can do to turn my mindset around in 20 minutes or in 5 minutes. So I teach these great quick hacks that designers can do when they're taking a big leap forward in their business. Again, this is not about sitting around the campfire, singing kumbaya, braiding each other's underarm hair. This is about knowing who you are as a design business owner and learning to lean into your strengths to drive more success, because the mindset hacks I'm talking about don't really work with civilians. They don't resonate for them. But we're sensitive to input.
Are you an interior designer with a burning question or a business challenge you just can't crack? We want to hear from you. You can now leave us a voicemail with your question at fordesignerbusiness.com or check the show notes of this episode for a direct link. No question is too big or too small, whether it's about your clients, business growth, or the creative process. Your question could be featured on an upcoming episode and you'll get real, actionable advice. Plus, you'll be entered to win a free one-on-one strategy session. So don't be shy, hit that voicemail link, share what's on your mind, and let's tackle it together. We can't wait to hear from you.
I love that you call it the business of mindset, because it isn't woo-woo. It is all centered around that business message, that success. Of course, it's probably going to trickle down and affect you in your personal life. But I really relate to that business of mindset because it is centered around, more so than, like you said, mindset can get very up in the clouds, but this is very practical and actionable.
And something also interesting for me is helping you identify who you are. I think that's like the biggest first step. Some people really know who they are and how you respond and react to stress, and they can skip that step and go to the next step, which are these hacks that you're talking about. But for me, it's that assist. Like we just did that in 7 questions. You're saying there's 25, is really understanding for us in identifying who's struggling the most with their foundation would be the person who's struggling to identify who they are so they can say, I'm doing that thing. And then when you're giving these hacks, my assumption is, and I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, you can look at your systems for your own self in your firm and layer in some support to the reactivity. Maybe something simple as you're reacting because you feel out of control. And the way I can cut this off is by creating an end of week report that has A through E on it. And I don't have to feel this reaction through my weekend if I simply implement that in, calm this space down, and I'm going to cut this off so I don't react to this the next time.
Great point, Shayna, because for people like us, systems and processes are immeasurably important because they reduce churn and stress. Churn and error create stress. Systems are a huge part of helping people like us. It's not the full story, but even something like, I've heard you speak, you've heard me speak at conferences, but I'm such a believer in a really strong, robust scope of work document, because that's a sales tool. And you send a sensitive or an empath into state a fee that's bigger than she or he has ever stated before to a client. Maybe it's your first 6-figure fee. Maybe it's your first sexy 5-figure fee. I know this is a reactive point for me because of what selling feels like to me. But I know I've got this amazing Sal that I can lean into. So building a business around safeguarding those trigger points for people like us, especially because stress affects a civilian, of course it does, but it doesn't affect them in the same way or as deeply as it does for people like us. For people like us, we shut down. We want to curl into a ball. We want to close down our businesses. I'm talking to a designer now. She's in a $3 million business. Her business is running her. She is so stressed out because she is trying to operate like a civilian and she's not. She's actually an extreme empath, extreme on that spectrum, which is not a bad thing. It's just a thing. But she's trying to operate in a way that's outside of her natural orientation, if that makes any sense to you. It's like trying to be left-handed when you're really right-handed.
And that's what I think is so great, because I feel like it's easy to connect the dots to my creative brain makes me a great designer. I think a lot of things just out there in the world make it sound like your creative brain makes you less strong as a business owner. And what you're saying is that's not true at all. You just have to put the tools in place to make it feel that way.
If anything, I would say in terms of the greatest people in sales to have that sensitivity and that empathy inside of you is only a strength, actually. And you say scope of work. What I really lean to is this acronym MIMS, which is we're making it make sense. We're not selling off of money. We're selling off of the value of the service. And we are educating on every single specific down to quantity of concepts so that A, we're making it make sense. It's not about the money. I've been on so many closing calls where a client will actually express, wow, this is way higher than I thought, but it makes sense. And when I would offer to remove certain optional deliverables like renderings and things like that, they opt, no, I don't want to take it out. I was just simply saying it totally makes sense, a little bit higher than we thought, all good. And then the second part of that is so that you don't have to feel bad when you have to charge more, because let's be honest, the scope will always change.
Right.
There's way too many variables of the unknown in the beginning. We're making assumptions on so many things that as we start to get clarity, now you can, again, remove the money and point to the detailed value of work and realign where there is misalignment. So there is no feelings. It's just like, hey, this was the agreement. Here's how it changed. And here's how that affects time. It's not money. Money is the last thing. Doesn't matter. It's about time and the initial agreement we agreed to. So I couldn't agree more. That fluffy, it comes from school in terms of creating fluff. You know what I mean?
I do. A lot of romance language.
Oh, it's like, okay, move on. What are we doing here? Like, what is this?
It's so interesting because obviously all these pillars feed together. And now we're kind of talking about sales. But in this foundational pillar that we really started with, that business of mindset, Donna, before we allow that to spread out to those other pillars that we're going to talk about, is there any key takeaway or last thing you want these designers to hear from you about this foundational pillar?
There is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you. Stop trying to be like your business manager, your spouse. You do you, but stop apologizing for what you are. You have to recognize it and feed it, just like a plant you put into the garden. Got to have the right plant in the right spot, right growing conditions, right soil conditions. You try to put the wrong plant in the wrong spot of the garden, it's going to suffer and struggle. So recognizing what you are, again, as we said earlier, the thing that makes you so good at design can make you so good at business if you know how to direct it, when to redirect it, and how to feed it and cultivate it.
Well, that brings us to the end of today's episode with Donna Hoffman. Whether you're a creative, an HSP, or an empath, remember this key takeaway. There is nothing wrong with you. The very traits that make you a great designer can also make you a great business owner when you know how to properly harness them.
So much value in that conversation, and that was really only one of the three pillars that Donna shares. So we really hope that Donna's insights on the business of mindset and the creative brain gave you permission to lean into your strengths and not apologize for them. Remember, we are here to support you as you build a business that celebrates your unique gifts and empowers you to do your best work without overwhelm and without burnout.
If Donna's coaching sparked something for you, don't miss her upcoming 3-day Ignite Business Immersion Workshop starting on January 21st. Ignite is a live virtual event designed specifically for interior designers just like you who want to boost profits, find clarity, and connect with a supportive community of fellow design professionals. Spots are limited. Check the show notes for the link to register and ignite your business success.
And be sure to keep a lookout for our next episode with Donna, as we'll be diving into the business of the business and the business of sales and marketing, the other two pillars she coaches on. We'll also get deep into systems, pricing, team building, and how to confidently communicate your value as a designer. You will not want to miss it, so be sure to take a moment to subscribe and rate the show wherever you listen.
And if you'd like to talk through your business plans, refine your marketing, or just get a fresh perspective, you can schedule a free call with us at 4designerbusiness.com or check the link in the show notes.
Do you have a design or business question that you'd like us to tackle on this show? You can now leave us an anonymous voice memo with your questions at fordesignerbusiness.com or in the show notes for this episode. We would love to hear from you, and your question might even be featured on a future episode.
Don't forget, you have the power to shape what's next, and we are cheering you on every step of the way. Until next time, keep designing and keep dreaming.